Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos Daf Pei Hey. We are holding a daf Pei Dalet and Beis about 10 lines from the end of the page on Pei Dalet and Beis at Masiv Ravin Bar Nachman. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. Is also sponsored by David and Debbie Adelson, Lila Nishmas, David's grandmother, Chana Bas Rav Shlomo Yehuda Aryeh Hashem Yikom Domo, who was murdered in Majanik this in 1943. This past Sunday was the yard site, and also by the Gross family, Lezecha Nishmas Chana Leah Bas Moshe Tzvi, Rav Moshe Yehuda Ben Rav Nachum, Chayaleya Bas Naftali Hertzka, and Tzvi Menachem Ben Shmayahu, all the Sam Shem Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for these sponsorships. So we're going to discuss today as follows. We already started the discussion yesterday, and we'll continue the discussion, whether there's any issur for a Kohenes to marry a Chalol. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a Chalolah, but is a Kohenes allowed to marry a Chalol? So then the Gemara is going to talk about a husband's obligations to his wife in a forbidden marriage. If they're not allowed to be married to each other anyway, is the husband obligated to give her mezonos and the like? So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then the Gemara is going to give three different explanations as to why it is that we are mechalik between a marriage that's asur midrabanan versus a marriage that's asur midaraisa in terms of a woman receiving a ksuba. And it's counterintuitive, because when the marriage is an isur midaraisa, the halacha is that she does get her ksuba, but when the marriage is asur midrabanan, she doesn't get her ksuba. So why would it be that we're going to be more machmir on the marriage that's asur midrabanan than we will on the marriage that's asur midaraisa? The Gemara is going to give three explanations. Perhaps the three are really two, and the third explanation is an explanation of one of the earlier explanations. And then the Gemara is going to give five nafkaminas between the explanations as to why we make this distinction between a daraisa and a drabanan. So that will be the entire Amud Beis up until the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis. So let's begin again. We are 10 lines from the end of the page on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis, and we had said that Rav had this shita that there is no isser for a kohenes to marry a chalal. While there's an isser for a kohen to marry a chalalah, there's no isser for a kohenes to marry a chalal. So Masav Ravin Bar Nachman, Ravin Bar Nachman challenges Rav. Now we have a brisa that tells us lo yikachu, lo yikachu. Pasuk says twice lo yikachu, meaning it says isha zonah v'chalalah lo yikachu v'isha grusha me'isha lo yikachu, that a kohen is not allowed to marry a zonah v'chalalah, and he's also not allowed to marry a grusha. So from the fact that it says lo yikachu twice, melamid she'ish muzaris al yidei ish, that tells us that the woman has the same issur just like a man has an issur. So the Gemara assumes that that means that just like a kohen is not allowed to marry a chalalah, so too a kohenes is not allowed to marry a chalal. And that's a kashan Rav, because Rav said that she is not muzaris in such an issur, that she has no issur not to marry a chalal. So I'm a Rava says, no, the Braisa doesn't mean to tell me that a Kohenes whose Kshera is not allowed to marry a Chalal, but rather it means to tell me, Kol Heichadu Hu Muzar, he Muzares. When a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Chalala, that Isser is not only his Isser when they get married, it's her Isser also. So the Braisa, it's not telling me that that the Isser works in the reverse as well, in a different case, where the roles are reversed. It's saying in that very marriage, the Isser is not only on him, the Isser is on her as well. But wherever the Kohen is not Musar not to marry her, like a Kohen Chalal who's marrying an Isha Kshera, where he has no Isser, she also has no Isser, which is exactly what Rav said, that she has no Isser. The Rishonim raised the question, but wait a second, why do I need a Pasuk to tell me that if he's not allowed to marry her, then she is also usher to marry him? Isn't that obvious? There's an isser in the Torah, lifnei iver lo sitin michshol. So if the only way the guy could violate the isser is by marrying her, she's obviously violating an isser by marrying him. Maybe not the isser of kohen l'chalala, but she's violating the isser of lifnei iver anyway. So isn't the isser of kohen l'chalala redundant on her side of things? So the Rashba and the Ritva suggest that no, it's not redundant, because had it only been lifnei iver, she would not be chayv mal malchus, because it's a lav shebichlalos, and you're not chayiv malchus for a lav that's inclusive of many different activities. Whereas, if we have a pasuk, lo yikachu, to tell me that she has a particular lav that she's not allowed to marry him, so then she's going to be chayiv malchus as well. So ask the Gemara, vaha mehachanafka, is this idea that a man and a woman have the same din, that whatever the man is not allowed to marry her, she's also not allowed to marry him, is that really derived from lo yikachu? Don't we learn this from Rav Yudam Rav? Tam Rav Yudam Rav, v'chein tam d'ber Rav Yishmael, ish o isha ki yasu mikolchato sa'adam, pasuk continues, limol lal v'ashem, v'ashma nefeshahi. So from the fact that it says ish o isha, we see hishva kasav isha l'ish l'kolot shabbatara, that women are included in all chato sa'adam, in all lavin, in all yisurim, in the Torah. Rashi points out, v'ani yisur lav, v'ani yisur kares, not in any mitzvah saseh, it's dafka in lavin shabbat Torah, and by mitzvah saseh, we know women are pater from mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Torah Chaim points out that even though the pasuk is talking about an onesh of a korban in particular, it's not talking about all onshim in the Torah, we're still able to darshan from the fact that the pasuk could have said ish o isha kiyimelu mal ba'ashem, and instead it adds an extra phrase, mikol chatos ha'adam. So mikol chatos ha'adam is a very expansive phrase. So you see that whatever the Torah is telling me in this pasuk, says the Torah Chaim, is not only about the context of this pasuk, which are things for which you're chayiv or karban, it must be more inclusive of kol onshin shabbat Torah, that any lo saseh in the Torah, a woman is included the same way a man is. So why do I need a pasuk lo yikachu to tell me that a woman is included in the same isser that a man is, when a man is a kohen marrying a chalala, that it's her isser as well? Shouldn't I derive it just simply because a woman is always included in every isser that a man is included in the Torah? So says Marano, ime ahi, if I only would have learned from ish o isha, I would have said yes, that a woman is included in every issue that a man is, when it's a lav shavu b'kol, when it's not a lav that relates to kahuna, when it's a lav that applies to all of Klal Yisrael. Av a lav she'enu shavu b'kol, but the issue of zona, the issue of chalala to a kohen, that's only an issue to a kohen, that's not an issue to a regular Yisrael. So lo, I would think that a woman is not included in that issue, so that's why I need the pasuk lo yikachu to tell me that women are equally included in all of the Yisurim, even in those Yisurim that are not Shava B'kol. So says Gemara, really? I would have thought, without the pasuk of Lo Yikachu, that women are not included in a lav she'enu shava b'kol. You know, it's a good example of a lav she'enu shava b'kol. Tumas kohanim. Tumas kohanim only applies to kohanim, and it does not apply to non-kohanim. So if you're going to tell me that the hava amina would have been, that my natural assumption would have been, that that only includes men and not women, then there would be no need for a special pasuk by tumas kohanim to tell me that it only includes men and not women. It would be obvious that it only includes men and not women. But yet there is a special pasuk, Varei Tuma, the Lav Sheinu Shav B'Kol. Tuma is the Lav Sheinu Shav B'Kol because it doesn't apply to Yisraelim. V'taim Adukas Rachmana, and the only reason that women are excluded is because the pasuk says B'nei Aaron, and we darshan yes that it's B'nei Aaron v'lo B'nos Aaron, that B'nos Aaron are not Musar on the Yisrael to become tummy to a mace. Halav Hachi, but had I not had B'nei Aaron to exclude B'nos Aaron, Havamin Nashim Chayavos, I would have assumed that women who are Kohanos are Chayiv in the Yisra of Tumas Kohanim as well, then I'll let be Matami to a mace. So my Taimo, what is the reason that I would assume that a Kohanis is included in the Yisra of Tumas Mace? Lav Mishum de Rav Yudam Rav. Isn't it because I would have relied on Ish O Isha, Hishva Kasav Isha, the Ish Lekalon Shabbat Torah, that a woman is included in all Yisra in the Torah? And I would have applied that even to Tumas Kohanim. I would have applied that even to a Lav She'enu Shabbat Bakal. So don't tell me that I need Lo Yukachu to teach me that a woman is included in even a lav she'enu shava b'kol. I naturally would have assumed that a woman is included in a lav she'enu shava b'kol, and that's why I need a special pasuk by Tumas Kohanim to exclude her. Says Gemara, lo, the fact that I need a pasuk to exclude a woman from Tumas Kohanim is not because I naturally would have assumed hishva kosav ishul ish l'kol on Shabbat Torah applies even to Tumas Kohanim. No, it's because I already have a pasuk of lo yukachu to gamrina milo yukachu. Once I have a pasuk of lo yikachu that tells me that even by a lav she'enu shava b'kol, even by nisr zona, even by nisr chalala, which is not shava b'kol, a woman is included. Good. Once I have that pasuk, now I have reason for a hava amina that a woman would be included in the isra of tumas kohen common as well. And that's when I need a pasuk to tell me that a woman is not included in the Yisra of Tumas Kohanim. So the Gemara brings another Hezber, though, that we could learn even Lav Sheinu Shavu B'Kal from Isha Isha, and what's Lo Yukachu for something else. So again, the first answer, the Gemara's question was, once I have a limud, Isha Isha, that women are the same as men, as far as all Losa says in the Torah, why do I need an extra Lo Yukachu to include women in the Isra of Chalal? So the first answer was, because Chalal is a Lav Sheinu Shavu B'Kal, so I need an extra pasuk to tell me that women are also included in Lav Sheinu Shavu B'Kal. Second answer, Ikeda Amri Kicha Itzrichalei. The fact that it says, the fact that we need Lo Yukachu to tell me that a Chalala is has an Isra not to marry a Kohen, is not because we could not derive that from Isha Isha, that a Kohenis is also to be Metami to Mason, and it's a Lav Sheinu because it's a Lav Sheinu Shavu B'Kal, but rather, Sal Kedai Techamina Ligmar Mituma. I would have thought that we should learn the din of a Chalala, and that, namely that a Chalala does not have an Isser to marry a Kohen, because after all, we should derive it from other dinim of Kuhuna, like Tuma. And by Tuma, we know it says B'nei Aaron, and we say B'nei Aaron velo B'nos Aaron. So I would have thought that that Tuma is not an exception. Tuma is a paradigm. When it says B'nei Aaron velo B'nos Aaron, and a Kohenis is excluded from the Isser, I would assume, good, so let's say that when it comes to the Isser Chalala, a woman is excluded from the Isser as well. So Kamash Malah, and that's why the Bryce has to tell me, no, don't learn it from Tuma. Rather, we should learn that a Chalala does have an Isser not to marry a Kohen from the extra words, Lo Yikachu, from the extra phrase, Lo Yikachu. So Rav Papa Rav Unabre Rav Shua Iklu Li Hintzavu, Rav Papa Rav Unabre Rav Shua went to a place called Hintzavu, Lasin Rav Yidi Bar Avin, which was the place where Rav Yidi Bar Avin lived, and Bo Minayu, the people there, asked Rav Papa Rav Unabre Rav Shua the following Shaila, the Shaila we've been discussing. Is there an Isser on a Kasher Kohenes to marry a Pasul, to marry a Chalal? Is there such an Isser or not? So Amar Lu Rav Papa. So Rav Papa said, Tanisua, we learned this in the Mishnah that tells us who you're allowed to marry, because the Mishnah says, Asar Yuchzral Mi Babel, a Mishnah Maseches Kiddushin, that there were 10 levels of yichus that people had after Golus Bavel was over them, and they came back in the days of Ezra, that there are 10 levels of yichus. This Kohanim is the highest level, then Levim and Yisraelim and Chalalim, who are born from Slikuna, and Geirim, and Charurim means freed slaves, Umbam Zerim, and the Nesinim, the Givonim that got Mila in the days of Yeshua, and David was Gozer not to marry them, and a Shtuki and an Asufi, which are both examples of Safek Mamzer. The Mishnah Kiddushin of Samuch Tas tells us that a Shtuki is that he knows who his mother is, but he doesn't know who his father is. So when he calls out to somebody, Abba, his mother is Mashtiko, so his mother quiets him down and says, no, that's not your father. And an Asufi is someone who's just gathered in from the Shuk, and he doesn't know who anybody, he doesn't know who either of his parents are. It's an abandoned baby in the Shuk. So either way, it's a Safek Mamzer, because we don't know enough information about his parents to know whether he's a Mamzer or not. And the Mishnah explains who among this list is allowed to marry others on the list. So it says, Kohanim Levim Yisraelim Mutarim Lavo Zabzeh. Regular Kohanim Levim Yisraelim that are all Miyuchasim are allowed to marry each other. Right? That's a regular Shidduch. Levim Yisraelim Chalalim Gerim Charurim Mutarim Lavo Zabzeh. Once we take Kohanim out, Levim and below are allowed to marry Chalalim, they're allowed to marry Gerim, they're allowed to marry Yidavim Meshuchar, who has a din of a Ger. All of them are allowed to marry each other, just not a Kohen. A Kohen's not allowed to marry a Chalal or a Ger, or someone who's meshuchar. Geiri, charuri, mamzeri, nesini, shtuki, vasufi, mutar m'lava zabzeh. Once we take out all Yisraelim yuchasim, you knock out the Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, everyone lower on the list is allowed to marry each other. A ger, evan meshuchar, a mamzer, a nasan, a shtuki, a sufi, they're all allowed to marry each other, because the Tana assumes that even though a mamzer is an isra lava bakal, kal gerim is lo ikri kahal. Gerim are not considered to be included in the Yisra of Lo Yavo Mamzer Bekal Hashem, and therefore the Gerim and the Meshucharim and the Nesinim and the Mamzerim are all Mutzer Zebezeh. And the reason the Shtuki Vasufi are Mutzer, even though they're only a Safik Mamzer, is because Kal Vada is a Krikal, but Kal Safik is not included in the Yisra. And since these people are Shtuki Vasufi, are kahal safek. We don't know. They might be mamzerim, so therefore they are mutter. So the Gemara says, here's the raya. V'ilu kohanos l'chalal lo katani. It doesn't say that kohanos ksheros are allowed to marry a chalal. So you see that kohanos ksheros must be usher to marry a chalal. So that's a raya, that it's an isra on kohanos ksheros to marry a chalal. So Amalei Rafun Breda of Yeshua. So Rafun Breda of Yeshua says to Rav Papa, remember it was Rav Papa and Rafun Breda of Yeshua that were traveling together, and they were both approached with this question. So Rav Huna Breda of Yeshua says to Rav Papa, it could be that Kohanos Ksheros are not allowed to marry Kohanim Psulim, are not allowed to marry Chalalim. And the reason that it doesn't mention it in the Mishnah is Kol Hecha Dahani Nasi Mehani, Vahani Nasi Mehani Katani. The Mishnah talks about cases where the males are allowed to marry the females and the females are allowed to marry the males. So a Mamzer is allowed to marry Shtukis, and a Shtuki is allowed to marry a Mamzeres, where it can go in both directions. But a Kohen, Kivindi Lubay Limits of Chalala Asirelei, it could be that a Kohenes is allowed to marry a Chalal, but a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Chalala, and therefore Lo Katani. Since it's not a two-way street, that's why it doesn't get mentioned. But in a Chinami, it could be that it's mutter. Just because it doesn't mention it as one of the heterim doesn't mean that it's not mutter. It could be that the only heterim we're listing in the Mishnah are heterim that are a two-way street that would go in either direction. But over here, it wouldn't go in either direction. So now that they had this conversation, Rav Papa and Rav Huna ben Rav Shua, who are traveling in Rav Idi bar Ravin's town, had this conversation whether a Kohenes Ksheira is allowed to marry a Chalal. So they came to Rav Idi bar Ravin, who was the Maradas, who lived in that town, and they asked him, what do you think? So Amalu, Rav Idi bar Ravin said, Dardiki. He said, you're like children. You don't know the proper din. Your svar is not strong. Hachiyam Rav Idi bar Ravin, we have a Masorah. L'husuk Sheros, L'nasi L'psulim. Rav Idi bar Ravin taught us that there is no Isser for a Kasher or Kohenes to marry apostle, and therefore we assume that it is in fact mutter. So there's no reason, there's no makom to have any suffix about this issue. Good. The Mishnah then went on to say, Shnios mitivrei sofrim. We said that if someone marries a woman who's asutim midrabanan, not real arayos, but shnios arayos midrabanan, so she doesn't get a ksuba. So by mine, the b'nei biri, there's a place called Biri, asked Meir of Sheshas, asked Rav Sheshas the following shayla, shniel baal, velo shniel yavam. Let's say someone was a shniel arayos to her husband, but when the husband dies, she's not a shniel arayos to the yavam. Meaning a man marries his maternal grandmother, shniel arayos, terrible. But his brother is, he only shares a father with his brother. He's a half-brother with his brother. He doesn't share the mother with his brother. So when he dies, his brother is not related to his maternal grandmother. His brother is only is only related to him through his father's side. So she's a shniya to the Baal, but she was never a shniya to the Yavam. So yesh lo ksuva mi Yavam alo. Does she get a ksuva from the Yavam, or do we say, no, she doesn't. Just like she didn't get from the Baal, she wouldn't get from the Yavam. So since we learned back on Daf Lamed Ches that the chiyuv to pay a ksuba of a yavama when yibum is performed is a chiyuv on the estate of the first husband, so lesa, she's not entitled to a ksuba from the first husband who was shniyos la'arayos, and therefore maybe she does not get a ksuba. Odilma, or maybe the flip side is kiven di ilu lesla merishon. Since if the first husband's estate doesn't have the ability to pay her ksuba, he didn't have any nechasim. So it turns out that if the yavam divorces her, she wouldn't have where to collect the ksuba from. Takinu l'rabbanu misheni. So there is a takana midrabbanan that in such a case the yavam would have to pay the ksuba. So maybe we should say isla that she does get a ksuba from the yavam because she's like it would be exactly like the case of a woman that was unable to collect from the first husband's estate because the first husband's estate had inadequate funds. Meaning, l'mayna afkamina, whether the first husband's estate had inadequate funds, or he was a billionaire, but he just had no chiyuv to pay her a ksuba. Either way, she's not getting from the first husband, so maybe she should get therefore from the second husband. The Ritva just explains the tzadei asafek a little bit more. He says that the fact that she doesn't get ksuba from the first husband is that because it's a knas and it's as if he doesn't have a nechasim, and therefore the ksuba is on the yavam, or is it that they were misaking ksuba from the yavam only when she was kshera, even to the original husband, and because he didn't have nechasim. But over here, they weren't choshesh that tia kala be'enav lo tia. That wasn't a particular concern over here. I mean, the only reason they were masaking ksuba from the first husband, from the second husband, from the yavam, when the first husband didn't have enough, is because she's entitled. She deserves a ksuba, because we always want to make sure a woman has a ksuba shlotei kala be'enav lo tia, so it wouldn't be too easy to divorce her. But over here, where the whole marriage was in sin, the whole original marriage was an isser, they're not making any special takanos. Rav Sheshes responded to Nisua. We learned this din from a Braisa. Ksubasa al nechse bala arishon. The Braisa says that her ksuba in general comes from the first husband's estate. Vim haisa shniya labal afilu miyava meinla. But if she was a shniya la rayos to that first husband, then not only does she not get a ksuba from the first husband, because of who she was asura to, she wouldn't even get a ksuba from the yavam either. So your shaila was when she was shnios la'arayos to the baal, but it's not shnios la'arayos to the yavam. Does she get a ksuba from the yavam? The answer is no. It says explicit in the brisa that she does not. Now the brisa had said that ksubasa is al nitzay baalei rishon, but if she was a shnia to the baal, she doesn't even get from the yavam. The lashon of the brisa is a little bit difficult. Afilu miyavam einla. So that's mechlal de'ika de'islam yavam. That implies that there are sometimes that women do get a ksuba from the yavam. Where does that happen? I thought the yavam doesn't have to pay the ksuba, that it's always the baal's responsibility. So the Gemara says, chisur mechzer v'achi katani. Now there's a little bit missing from the Braisa, and the Braisa first spells that out for us. It tells us, ksubasa nechse bala rishon. That certainly, normally in a typical case, the first husband's estate is what pays her ksuba. V'ilesla merishon. But if she can't get a ksuba from the first husband's estate because there are inadequate funds, so takinu lamisheni. So then the chachamim made a takana that she gets from the yavam. And once we add that line that there's a takanas chacham that she gets from the yavam, we add v'maisa shniya lebala from the yavam imba. But if her original marriage was in sin, her original marriage was shniya slarayos marriage, then she wouldn't even get from the yavam. She wouldn't get from the. She would get neither from the baal nor from the yavam. Period. Now the Mishnah had said that an almana that marries a kohen gadol, or a grusha v'chalutza marries a kohen gadol. Meaning, if a marriage is an iser da'oraisa, so then the halacha is that she does not get a ksuba. So the Gemara explains what the dinim are legabe other chiyuvim between ish l'ishta. So by me, Rabbi Blazim, Rabbi Yochanan, almanu kohen gadol grusha v'chalutza l'kohen gadol. Yesh lo mizonos, oyin lan mizonos. Are there mizonos? Does the husband have a chiyuv to support his wife when they're living in sin? When it's a lo sase minat Torah for them to be married to each other. Say Chidami says, well, what exactly is the case that Reb Lazar is asking a Shaila about? If we're talking about a case where they're mamish living together, they're married and they're living like a normal married couple, so ba'amod v'otzei ka'i, mizonos isla. I mean, every day, when this man wakes up in the morning, if he were to go to his rabbi and say, what should I do today? He said, well, first, you should divorce your wife. That's the first thing you should do. I mean, he's on ba'amod v'otzei ka'i. Every day he has an obligation to get divorced. So what, we're going to give her mizonos? We're going to be mechayiv him to support his wife? He's mechayiv to be megarish his wife. How could we try to encourage that the marriage go well and that he give her mizonos? So lo tzricha shalachu l'medina siyam. Now the case must be that the husband is nowhere in town. He's left. He's gone to Medina Siyam. So there is no ba'amod v'otzei ka'i because he's not even here. So when he wakes up in the morning, we might tell him, get home so that you could divorce your wife. But right now, he has no obligations for today to divorce his wife. He's not even here. And v'lov saviyachla, and because the husband is away, the woman had to borrow money in order to support herself. So my, in such a case, what's the din? Does the husband have to reimburse those who've been supporting his wife while he was out of town? Mizoni tenai ksubanin. Do we assume that the chiv of mizonos is written in the ksuba, and therefore he writes at the time that they get married, ate yasva bebesi mitzani minichsi, he writes in the ksuba that he's going to support her. So midis the ksuba, from the fact that she does have a ksuba, the chum were not mafkia, the ksuba that he has to pay her, so islam mizoni, he has chiv mizonos as well. Oh, Dilmor, maybe not. Ksuba de l'mishkol meipak. Ksuba, where that you give her the mana masayin, she takes that and she leaves. She collects that on the way out the door when he divorces her. So isla, that she's going to have because they did. did it, the chum didn't have to be mafkia the ksuba from her, because she'll take the ksuba, she'll go on her way, and everyone will be happy that she's not, that they're no longer living in sin. But mizone dumatiakim kabe. But mizonos is an ongoing requirement that a husband gives to his wife while they stay married. So the more you give her mizonos, the more she's going to be encouraged to stay in the marriage. So if he divorces her, he's not going to have to give her mizonos anymore. So Lesla, maybe the chum said, don't give her mizonos because we don't want to encourage the marriage. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Lazar, Lesla, there's no chiv mizonos because we have to be choshesh that that's going to encourage her to stay with him in order to be able to receive proper support. Iva Tanya, but the Brisa does say that we said Yeshla has mizonos, so she does have mizonos. So we have a Brisa that tells us that she has mizonos. So how can you tell me that, how could Rabbi Yochanan tell Rabbi Lazar Lesla that she does not get mizonos? We have a Brisa that says she does get mizonos. So Kitanya Hila Achermisa says, nah, that Brisa tells us that she gets mizonos, that's if the husband died and he didn't divorce her. So long as she's still an almana and she didn't get married to anyone else, one of the Tanai Ksuba is that his estate is supposed to support her. So good. So now they're not living in sin anymore. So good. Let her have the mizonos. Let her eat from his estate. And we don't have to be choshesh that maybe she's going to continue to live in sin. He's dead. So they're not continuing to live in anything. Ista Amar, others quote Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan in a slightly different context. And this is how the conversation went. That Amalei Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Lazar, Tanya Yeshla, that we have a brisa that says she gets mizonos. So Rabbi Lazar then asked Rabbi Yochanan, how do you say that she gets mizonos? Haba'amod v'otzei ka'i. He has to divorce her. How can we possibly tell him to give her mizonos? So ve'ela ha'tanya Yeshla, but the Gemara says, yeah, but the brisa says she gets mizonos. So how can Rabbi Lazar say she doesn't get mizonos? So kitanya yi la'achar misa. So the brisa that says that she gets mizonos, that's talking about after the husband has died and he has not divorced her, so she gets mizonos as an almana, but ain't a chinami during the lifetime, then she would not get mizonos because it's ba'mod ve'otzei ka'i. So Gemara brings a brisa that discusses the dinim of the chiyuv habal to his wife when they're married be'isir. So Tanu Rabbanan, the brisa says as follows: Almana kohen gadol, grusha v'chlutza l'kohen hadyot, an isser d'oraisa. Almana marries kohen gadol, grusha v'chlutza marries kohen hadyot. Right? Absolutely an isser d'oraisa. Yesh lo ksuba. The husband has to give her the ksuba of manam asayim when he divorces her or when he dies, and peiros, and he has to pay the value of the peiros that he's eaten from her nichsei malug, and mizonos. He has to give her mizonos whether he's alive or whether he's dead, and blaos, whatever begadim she brought into the marriage and have been worn out, she gets the begadim back when they get divorced, and vihi psula, she becomes pasul l'kuhuna because she becomes a halala through this forbidden marriage of a grusha to a kohen or an almana to a kohen gadol, uvlada pasul, and any children they have from this marriage is also pasul l'kuhuna, is also a halal, v'kofnos alahotzi, and we force him to divorce his wife because they're violating a los hasei every day that they're living together. But shnios mitivrei sofrim, someone only marries someone who's also mitirabanan mitivrei sofrim, ein lo ksuba, she does not get a ksuba lo peros lo mazonos lo blaos, she doesn't get any of these things, v'ksheira, but she is not going to become a chalala, uvlada kasher, and her child is going to be kasher lakuna, v'kofnos alaoti. But in that case also, we encourage them to get divorced, meaning whether the isser is d'oraisa or whether the isser is d'rabanan, we're going to encourage them to get divorced because they're not allowed to be married to each other. The two differences between a marriage that's also midaraisa and a marriage that's also midrabanan is that when it comes to a marriage that's also midaraisa, she gets a ksuba, and with a marriage that's also midrabanan, she does not. When it comes to a marriage that's also midaraisa, she becomes a halal and all the children are halalim. When it's a marriage that's also midrabanan, she does not become a halala and the children are not halalim. So Amr Bishim ben Elazar, Mibnei Ma'amru, Alman al Kohen Gadol, Yesh lo ksuba. Why is it that when the marriage is also midaraisa, she gets a ksuba? Isn't that counterintuitive? You would think that if the marriage is also midaraisa, we'd come down harder, we'd be more machmir, we would say no ksuba. So says Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Mipnei Shehu Pasul, because by virtue of this marriage, the Kohen who marries her is the woman who's asked to him becomes pasul to do the avoda so long as he stays in the marriage, vihi psula, and she becomes a halala. So the kamakam shu pasul vihi psula, whenever they're both going to be pasul as a result of staying in this marriage, kantsus a ksuba. So the chacham were kones him the ksuba, meaning he's still going to have to pay the ksuba. They keep the chiv of the ksuba of ksuba there, because even without being kones, the loss of the ksuba, she's not going to want to stay with him anyway. She's going to want to leave him because he's nifsal through her, or she's nifsal through him. So they're always going to fight, because meaning the marriage is not going to last anyway, because each one is bringing the other one down, and they both realize that. So because of that, they didn't have to take away the ksuba. Why did they take away ksuba when the marriage was only a marriage of sasimi drabanan? Because neither of them are becoming puzzle. We need to come up with something to discourage this marriage, because their yichus remains fully intact. So they have to, in order to discourage this marriage, to encourage them to leave each other, to encourage them to walk out of the marriage, so they were kones that she doesn't get a ksuba. So she has no reason to stay and wait for him to die, because she's not going to get a ksuba anyway, so she might as well walk out the door right now. So that is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's explanation. Rabbi Omer, a different explanation. You know why there's a difference between a marriage zasmi daraisa, where she does get a ksuba, and a marriage zasmi drabana, where she does not? Halal of divrei Torah, in Shukam Chizuk, that the Amman Lekohen God, the Grusha, the Kohen Hediot is Nisim Min HaTorah, and Nisim Min HaTorah doesn't require any extra chizuk from the Rabbanan to make it a severe and serious thing. Everyone knows that it's a real Isser Midoraisa, and therefore there's a high likelihood she's going to leave the marriage anyway, or he's going to leave the marriage anyway, because at some point they're going to feel guilty enough about an Isser Midoraisa. But Alalu, Divrei Sofrim, Srikhan Chizuk, but when it comes to Shnios, it's only Isser Midrabbanan. So in order to lay the law down and make it clear to people that this is a serious matter, the Rabbanan had to make Divrei Sofrim, had to strengthen the Divrei Sofrim. So what they did was, they made an Isser Ksuba, they made a Knas that she doesn't not get the Ksuba. Dover Acher, what sounds like a third explanation for the Chilik between Doraisa, marriages that are Isser Midoraisa, marriages that are Isser Midrabbanan, Zehu Margila Vizu, he Margila So. When it comes to an Alman Lekohen God, the Grusha V'chutz Lekohen Hedyot, she and her children are going to be Pasul Lekohuna because of this marriage. So she's not going to want this marriage. It must be the husband that's convincing her to marry him. And therefore, it doesn't make sense to be Konis or the Ksuba, because he's the one that was behind this. Whereas, when it comes to Shneos La'arayos, since she does not become Pasul Lekohuna, and her children do not become Pasul, it is highly likely that she's the one that's been pushing for this marriage, and she's the one that convinced him to go against his better judgment and to marry her. So therefore, the Rabbanan are going to make a knas against her that she's not going to get her ksuba. So davar acher man katanila. Who's the one that said this third explanation, this davar acher? So ikada amar Reb Shimon ben Elazar katanila. Some say it was actually the first opinion. Remember, we had three opinions. Reb Shimon ben Elazar, we had Rebbe, and then we had the davar acher. So some say it was Reb Shimon ben Elazar who added this onto his original answer. Right? Reb Shimon ben Elazar was the one who said, because that because he's puzzle and she's going to be puzzle when a marriage that's asami daraisa, so whenever he's puzzle and she's puzzle, we make a knas on the we make him pay the ksuba. But whenever neither of them are puzzle, when they're both going to be kosher, then we won't make him pay the ksuba. So matam kamer, he was just elaborating on why that is. Matam amu who puzzle the hipsula kansoros ksuba. Why is it that we said that when an almana marries a kohen gadol, grusha v'chutz marries kohen hediot, where she becomes pasul, he becomes pasul, he's still going to have to pay the ksuba, because we assume that he's the one that's pushing for the marriage, she's not the one that's pushing for the marriage, because it's going to ruin her, it's going to make her a halal, it's going to make her children a halalim, it's going to ruin her and her family. He's fine, so long as he's married to her, he can't do the avod, as soon as he divorces her, he's fine again, it doesn't make him a halal. Matam hu kashavik sheir kansuo saksuba. And why is it that when she's kasher and he's kasher, we do make him pay the ksuba? We do not make him pay the ksuba. We make a knas that she does not receive the ksuba. Because we assume she's the one that's probably pushing for the marriage. So the davar acher is not a third explanation. It's an elaboration of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Whereas ikadam or others say no. It's an elaboration, but not of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's opinion, but of Rebbe's opinion. Rebbe katanila. Rebbe is the one that said the davar acher. Meaning Rebbe's the one that said, whenever you have a din d'oraisa, it doesn't need any chizuk, so you don't have to make any changes
to the din ksuba. Boy, there's a din drabanan that needs chizik, so you need to make changes to the dinim of ksuba. What about a chalutza? A chalutza, the isser is it's an isser midaraisa, does not require a chizik. Chalutza l'koyin hadyot gets a ksuba, but chalutza drabanan, chalutza is only a din midrabanan, and it's the ksuba, and we didn't give it chizik. We never made it a penalty of the ksuba. He still has to pay the ksuba. So hadramar, that's why Rabbi said the davar acher. Yeah, because given the pasul of midrabanan, since by marrying her, apostles serve mitruma on a drabanan level, zehu margila, the husband is the one that must be the one that was pushing for this forbidden marriage, because she becomes possible through this marriage, so she must not be the one pushing for it, and therefore we're not going to be koneis her receipt of the ksuba. V'zo, but by Yishniya, they cause her to lose the ksuba, because he margiloso, she's not losing by being married to him, so she's not becoming possible, so she's the one that's pushing for this for this marriage, and meaning we assume that Tav L'meis of Tandu, Yosri Masha Ishrot, that if everything is even, probably she's the one pushing for the marriage, and therefore we make a knas that the Isha does not get the ksuba because she's the one that caused the nisuin. So let's assume there are only two opinions, that there is no davaracher. Davaracher is an elaboration of one of the earlier opinions. But what's the nafkamina between the two opinions? So says Gemara, five nafkamina. What happens if Mamzeres and Asina marries Yisrael? So Mandi Amadar Raisa Rebbe says that whenever there's an Issa Daraisa, they don't need Chizik. So Hanami Daraisa, that too is an Issa Daraisa, so there's no need to be Koneser, not to get a Ksuba. But Madam Neshu, who Margila, Hahi Margalale. But if you say, like Rav Shimon Elazar, that it's all about who's pushing for the marriage, by Mamzeres and Asina, she's going to be the one pushing for the marriage, because she doesn't become any more possible than she's already been. So she's likely the one pushing for the marriage. And even her children have a way out of Mamzeres by marrying a Shimcha and the Vladas Miuchas after them, and then having a shichur. So the Rabbi Lazar damar hareza evan mamzer. But wait, according to Rabbi Lazar, that a mamzer marries a shivcha, the child is both an evan and a mamzer, so there's no way out for the children. So halo margalev lo midi, it's not going to work. She's still not going to push for the marriage. So this wouldn't be a nafkamina. So says Gemara, you're right. Nafkamina number two. Ella amrav Yosef maksir grusha mishenises ikabinayu. What if a man divorces his wife, she marries somebody else, and then he remarries her? So does she get a ksuba? That's the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Elazar. Mandi Amar Daraisa, Rebbe, who holds that anything that's Nisa Daraisa doesn't require chizik, and therefore you could still have a ksuba. Hanami Daraisa, being maxir or grusha after she's been remarried, is also a din Daraisa, and therefore she should still get a ksuba. But Mandi Amar Neshu Umar Gila, but Rebbe Shimon Elazar says that it's all about who was the one that pushed for this forbidden marriage. Hahi Margalalei, since the children are not going to be mamzerim, because mamzerim only come from Chayavi Krisis or Chayavi Mises Bezdin, she's probably the one pushing for the marriage. Meaning, if she has nothing to lose from it, with the natural assumption, she's the one pushing for it, because women want to get married more so than men do, typically. That nafkamina doesn't work according to Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva holds that the children will be mamzerim, so she won't push for the marriage, because according to Rabbi Akiva, you can have mamzerim even from Chayavi Lavin, not only from Chayavi Krisis and Mises Bezdin. So maybe according to Rabbi Akiva, she's not going to be the one that's pushing for the marriage. Tosos raises the question. Yeah, but according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no tefisas kiddushin anyway. Bechayav elavin. So she's not going to get the ksuba anyhow because there's no tefisas kiddushin. You don't even need to get. There's nothing. So Tosos says she doesn't get ksuba mizonos. So Gemara is only asking on the fact that she loses the peros and the blaos that the husband ate and that the husband used. Okay. So says Gemara, a third possible nafkamina. Elam Rav Papa. Nafkamina between Rabbi and Shimon Lazar is, does she receive a ksuba if a bu'ula marries a kohen gadol? Mandi amr dal raisa. Rabbi says that it all depends whether it's a din dal raisa or a din drabanan hanami dal raisa. This is a din dal raisa, and therefore she should receive her ksuba because it doesn't need any chizik. Umandi amr neshu hu margila, but if it's about who was the one that pushed for the marriage, like Rabbi Shimon Lazar said, hahi margalalei, in such a case of a bu'ula the kohen gadol, where her children are not not going to be possible. Certainly she's the one that's pushing for the marriage, and therefore we should make a knas that she loses her ksuba. But if you hold that even from chayav yasei, the children are going to be halalim, so this marriage is going to ruin her children, she would not push for such a marriage, so then it would not be a nafkamina, this nafkamina would not be valid, so fourth nafkamina. Elam Ravashi machzir suffix sotaso ikabenayu. If he remarries, if he not remarries, but if he has bia with a suffix sota, a woman who did not yet drink the me'amarim, but she's been accused, she's a suffix sota. So mandi amar daraisa nami daraisa. This is certainly a daraisa, does not need chizuk, she should get a ksuba. But mandi amar neshu hu margila ha hi margalale. In this case, she's the one that would push to stay with him because she wants to be married more than him, and she doesn't lose through staying married to him because she does not become a zona, she does not become pasalukuna through this bia, and her children don't become amzerim, they don't become halalim, so she's going to be the one pushing for the marriage. Says Mar, yeah, but Rav Masi ben Charish Amar afilu halach bala lahashkosa ubala bederech asa zona hala margalev lomidi. But if this act is going to make her into a halachically a zona, she will not push for it. So if you assume like the shita that this would qualify her as a zona, you can't assume that she would be the one pushing for the marriage. And that brings us to the fifth and final nafkamina. Elo amar baravashi sota vaday ikabenayu. A case where there are eidim, we know that she cheated on her husband, and she's a surah to a kohen because she's a zona. And even if she doesn't have bia with her husband, she's pasul lakuna. Her children are not going to be mamzerim, and they're going to be kashul lakuna. So both that's enough community between Rabbi Yerim Shimon and Lazar that according to Rabbi Halal and the Ritorian Tzuchim Chizuk, a sota is asur lav mina Torah. So there's no reason to make a knas not to get a ksuba. But according to Rabbi Shimon and Lazar, zehu margila v'zui margila so, this sota is not going to be a zona through the bia with her husband. She's already a zona by cheating on her husband. The children aren't going to be mamzerim, they're not going to be halalim, so she's going to be the one that's pushing for this marriage, and therefore that is the nafkamina between those two shitas. But Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Pehei Amudei.
Thank you.